Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. The circumstances of last year have left many people searching for the peace and assurance you and I know can only be found in God's Word. That's why I'm excited to share that we have a $50,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give today. This is a great opportunity to reach twice as many people with the certain hope of Jesus. Together, we can take the Word of God to people in need around the world through Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Escaping the People-Pleaser Trap.
I've been receiving many, many notes from you during this series on unhealthy relationships, and a lot of you have been giving me some good material. In fact, this weekend's message is based on a letter that I got recently. Let me read it to you. It's a pretty serious letter. It says, "Dear Pastor Rick, your Crazy Maker series is really helping me a lot. But there's one area where I always make myself crazy. And that is the fear of disapproval. It really messes up my relationships and it makes me miserable. To be honest, I am so afraid of being rejected that I let people walk all over me. It affects what I say, it affects what I wear, it even affects the food I eat. I hate feeling this weak, but I don't know how to change. For all my life, I have worried about what other people think about me. As a little child, I quickly learned that certain things would bring the smile and approval of my parents and other adults. And then when I started grade school, the approval of my friends became the most important thing in my life. Now I'm in college, but I've never grown out of this fear of being rejected. I still live my life mainly based on the approval of others." I know you're relating to this. And I know you're relating to this. "I still live my life mainly based on the approval of others. I want so badly to be liked, to fit in, and to be accepted that I have done all kinds of dumb stuff that my friends and my boyfriends forced me to do. I really regret that. You know, most of the time, I know the right thing to do. I'm just afraid to do it, worrying about what my friends will think. Why am I so weak? Why can't I handle their disapproval? I have opinions, but I'm always afraid to express them. I remember that one time you said, the fear of sharing your faith is a sign that you're a people pleaser, that you're controlled by the opinions of others. I am tired of saying yes to people just because I'm afraid to say no." I know you're relating to that one. "I'm tired of caring too much about what other people think of me. I'm tired of being manipulated and used. But in many ways, it's my fault. Sometimes I feel that I don't even know who I am. I'm just a collection of the expectations of others." Wow, that is a brutally, brutally honest letter. And I admire the person for writing that to me. This woman is talking about a very common problem that makes us all crazy. It is addiction approval. It is the addiction to the approval of others. It's one of the most common destroyers of happiness. And if you don't deal with this issue, You will be miserable most of your life. You will be controlled by other people. They will put you in their boxes. You'll end up living the life that your daddy wanted you to live, your mom wanted you to live, your kids wanted you to live, your spouse wanted you to live, your boyfriend or girlfriend. You're not going to live the life God wanted you to live. You're going to end up living a life that everybody else put you in, and you will miss the gifts that God gave you. You will miss the purpose that God gave you. You will miss so many things in your life if you don't learn how to not be a people pleaser. So this week, during this Crazy Maker series, we're going to look at the one that's in your mind that causes you to make yourself crazy, which is fearing the disapproval of other people, fearing the rejection of other people, fearing too much what other people think about your life. And when you do that, when you have that fear in your life, it lets all kinds of crazy makers, you've left the door wide open. And all kinds of crazy makers can dominate, can control, can manipulate, can cajole, can cause you to say yes when you want to say no, and cause you to say no when you want to say yes, and miss all kinds of things in your life. Now, at the top of your message notes outline, there's a verse in Proverbs 29, verse 25. Today's English version, it says this. In fact, let's read this verse aloud together. It is a dangerous trap to be concerned with what others think of you. But if you trust the Lord, you are safe. Now circle the phrase, dangerous trap. It is a dangerous trap. The Bible calls it a snare in the King James Version. The Bible calls it disabling in the Message paraphrase. It is a trap. And so today I want us to look at the concept of escaping the people pleaser trap. And what we're going to do is briefly two things. Look at how it traps you, okay? Why it's a trap, why you want to deal with this issue in your life, why it's a trap, and then how to escape and how to avoid it. And the Bible is very, very clear about both of these issues. Now, before we look at it, I need to explain to you that actually the desire to get the approval of other people, that's not a bad thing. That's a legitimate need in your life. You do need the approval of others in your life. You just don't need it to dominate your life. There's nothing wrong with wanting to please your parents. There's nothing wrong with wanting to please your husband, your wife. There's nothing wrong to wanting to be loved, liked, and approved of by friends, by family, by neighbors. There's nothing wrong with that. And actually, you need an amount of approval in your life. In fact, the Bible tells us and actually commands us to try to please other people in many ways. In other words, don't just live for yourself. If you don't care at all about pleasing other people, if you're only living for yourself, you're a narcissist. The person who has no interest in the approval of other people, you know who you call that? A sociopath. They're the people who go out and blow up buildings. Okay, if you have no need for any approval in your life, then really you are so narcissistic, you are so self-centered, you are so selfish, that is actually a real problem in your life. So there's nothing wrong with wanting the approval of other people. But like all of God's good gifts, what is a good thing in your life, a legitimate need, can be misused. You have a need for food in your life, it can be misused. Everybody agree with that? Okay, you have a need for sex, it can be misused. You have a need for approval, it can be misused. Everything that God gave us as gifts actually can be misused if we don't handle it correctly. So let's begin by looking at five reasons why trying to please everybody is a trap. Pastor Kurt Johnson and Pastor Brad Baker are helping me with this message today, and they're going to help me deal with the identifying the causes of pleasing everybody, and then I'm going to come back and deal with the cure. Okay, so let me give you five things why you need to deal with this. Why maybe you've had it all your life, you've worried too much about the approval of other people. It is a trap, the Bible says. How is it a trap? Number one, write this down. It causes me to miss God's purpose. It causes me to miss God's purpose for my life. You cannot be worried about being what everybody else wants you to be and focus on what God created you to be at the same time. If you're always worried and you're always trying to be what your parents wanted you to be, what your husband, your wife want to meet, what your friends, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever it is, if you're always trying to meet their expectations, if you're always trying to meet, fulfill their purpose for your life, you will miss God's purpose for your life. In fact, this is so important. It's one of the two primary areas that we miss God's purpose for our life. One is envy, and the other is peer pressure. When I envy other people's lives, and when I'm pressured by other people, I miss what God wants me to do with my life. You know, Campus Crusade has a gospel tract that says, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But in reality, God loves you and everybody else has a wonderful plan for your life. And if you listen to those plans, you will miss God's plan. First Thessalonians, there on your outline, Paul says in chapter 2, verse 4, our purpose is to please God, not people. That's your purpose in life. God didn't put you here on earth to please other people. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He is the one who examines the motives of the heart. So, if I don't deal with this issue, I'm going to miss God's purpose for my life. Pastor Kurt is going to come and talk about the next couple.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at just a few more reasons why trying to please everyone is such a trap. We just talked about the first one, that it causes me to miss God's purpose for my life. Another reason is this, that it keeps me from growing in my faith. When we try to please everyone, it stunts our ability to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this for just a minute. When God is big in our lives, when God is big, people have less power in our lives. Their influence is a little bit diminished when God is big in our lives. But on the flip side, when we allow people to be big, what ends up happening is God becomes diminished. And we give to people in our lives what really only belongs to God. We give to people authority. We give to people influence. We give to people what God deserves to have. God and people can't both be equal size in our lives. We have to choose who are we going to give more to? Who are we going to give more influence? Whose approval are we going to seek more? In fact, a couple questions you might want to ask yourself. I wrote these questions down. Whose opinion matters to me more, friends or God? Who am I going to trust and believe more, people or God? John 5:44 says this, you try to get praise from each other, but you do not try to get the praise that comes from the only God. So how can you believe? That verse makes it very clear that we are disabled in our faith. A people-pleasing mentality hinders our ability to grow in faith. Look at Proverbs 29:25. It says this in the Message, the fear of human opinion disables. Well, what does it disable? Primarily, the fear of human opinion disables our ability to grow closer in our relationship with Jesus. A third problem is this, is that it leads me to sin. Trying to please everyone leads me to sin. You might want to next to that just write, giving in to peer pressure. When I try to please everyone, I inevitably end up giving in to peer pressure. I've been a youth pastor for 25 years, and time again, when teenagers are talked to about their biggest struggle. Now, it doesn't matter if you talk to Christian church-going teenagers, if you talk to non-church-going teenagers. It doesn't matter what region of the country these teenagers are asked this question. When you ask teenagers, what's your biggest struggle? What's your biggest struggle? Over and over again, overwhelmingly, the number one answer is peer pressure. Over and over again, my number one struggle is peer pressure. My hunch is for those of us who are a little bit older, that might be the same struggle we have. It looks a little bit different for us, but it's the same struggle, this desire to please. And when we have a desire to please, we end up doing things that we know we shouldn't do. When I was a teenager, I was a terrible sinner. I didn't sin terribly often. I was just really bad at it. I didn't get away with it very often. I always got caught in my sin. My parents would constantly find me out. I was just no good at it. And when I would get caught, especially giving into peer pressure, because really when you think about it, a large percentage of the stuff that we do that we know we shouldn't do, a large percentage of our sin is the result of giving in to the pressures of other people. And when my mom and dad would catch me in that, they would ask the question that parents have been asking for generations when I got caught giving into peer pressure. I would say, "Mom, but Dad," everybody was, and as soon as I would start to say that, they would say this, "Kurt, if all of your friends jumped off of a bridge, would you jump off a bridge?" I don't know where, there must be some ancient parent 101 book. Hey, if you really want to bug your teenager, ask them this question. And all of our parents have asked us, we've all rolled our eyes. What a dumb question. Or is it? Is it really a dumb question? Because God seems to be of the opinion that we have a strong propensity to do what others are doing. In fact, look at this verse. It says in Exodus 23:2, "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong." Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. And when you look at Scripture, time and time again, we see people who loved the Lord and yet in their own way jumped off the bridge because other people wanted them to do that. Here are a few examples. Think of Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, one of Jesus' closest friends. Peter had spent 3 or so years with Jesus. Peter had seen Jesus perform miracles. Peter had seen Jesus walk on water. Peter himself had walked on water with Jesus. And when Jesus gets arrested and Peter is suddenly forced to admit that he knows Jesus and upset the accusers, or be a crowd pleaser and say, "I don't know the guy." And Peter denied knowing Jesus. He gave into the, he jumped off the bridge. Pilate, when Jesus was brought before Pilate, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. Pilate even said, "I find no fault in this man." But as the crowd became more and more insistent, Pilate gave in. Knew what he should do and just couldn't do it because he wanted to please people. Joseph had 11 brothers who were jealous of him. They conspire, 11 brothers conspire to sell Joseph into a life of slavery. All 11? Not one of them decided to stick up and do what was right. One sort of tried, Reuben, sort of tried to kind of, "Hey, maybe this isn't," and he ultimately just gave in and decided, "I'd rather please my siblings than do what I know is the right thing to do." 12 Israelite spies go and spy out the promised land. They come back. 10 of them convince an entire nation. There's an entire nation waiting to receive God's promise, to enter into what they know God has for them. And 10 people convince an entire nation, and this entire nation decided, "Well, we'd rather just believe these 10 guys and do what they say we should do rather than trust God." Is God big, or is the opinion of others big? King Saul, when he was newly appointed, anointed king, the prophet Samuel said to him, "This is a word from the Lord. God wants you to eliminate all of the idolaters in the land. We need to eliminate people who are worshiping false gods." And Saul decided not to do that. He got talked out of doing that. And later he says this to Samuel. Saul confessed to Samuel, "I've sinned. I've trampled roughshod over God's word and your instructions. I cared more about pleasing people, so I let them tell me what to do." Proverbs 1 verse 10 says this, "Dear friend, if bad companions tempt you, don't go along with them. When I read these verses, when I look at the lives of people in Scripture and I see their experiences, it causes me to ask myself a question that might be worth you asking yourself the same question, and that's simply this. In what areas of my life am I caving in to the expectation of other people? In what areas am I doing what I know is wrong in order to win the approval or to avoid the rejection of other people?
The fourth reason that trying to please everybody is such a trap is that it causes hypocrisy in our lives. And when hypocrisy invades our lives, we start to wear masks. We become chameleons. We adapt to our environment. And few things are as exhausting as trying to figure out what mask you're trying to wear in front of which people in which context. It's completely and entirely exhausting. And God doesn't want us to spend our energies there trying to please everyone by wearing masks. No. It's far too much that God has for us in our lives. When we wear masks, we fake it. We pretend. We don't reveal our true selves. And we just love to make ourselves look better than we are. And Jesus knew this about the tendency of the human heart, spoke directly to it in Luke chapter 16. This is verse 15. He says, "You make yourselves look good in other people's eyes, but God knows your heart." See, God wants us to be congruent inside and out, regardless of who we're around, what context we're in. He wants us to be congruent, not full of duplicity, not wearing masks. I mean, the fear of disapproval, it can cause us to compromise things that are so important, the truth, right? And this is why, you know, we say things that are socially acceptable rather than what is true. This is why we say things that are politically correct rather than the truth. You might write this down. Integrity is more important than popularity. Integrity is more important than popularity. For me this week, I'm going to turn that into a prayer in my time with God. And it's just a simple addition. God, help me. God, help me make my integrity more important than popularity. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18. "You brag about yourself, but the only approval that counts is the Lord's approval." That's how we become congruent. We say it's only him. It's only what he thinks that matters. And we stop at that point. We slowly stop wearing masks. The fifth reason, while running around trying to please everybody is just a horrible trap, is that it silences my witness. It silences my ability to share the simple truths of who Jesus is and how he's changed my life. We're pleasing everybody. We don't do this. We find a story that illustrates this perfectly in John chapter 9. Jesus rolls into the scene and he heals a man who's been blind all his life. And you would think in that moment, wow, what a place to celebrate and declare God's glory, God's greatness. It doesn't roll out that way. It doesn't happen. Some religious leaders are around and they go to this man's parents, the man who had just been healed, and they say, "What do you think of Jesus? Who is this guy?" And what do they do? Instead of, you know, declaring, "He just healed my son. He's amazing. He must be God with skin on. He's awesome." They say, "Well, why don't you like ask our son?" And the scriptures tell us they did this because they were afraid of what these religious leaders would do. Their witness was silenced. We actually find this, unfortunately, all over the New Testament. John 7, verse 12 and 13. "No one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the leaders. So again, 2,000 years ago, this idea of saying what was politically correct, not to get under anyone's skin, was alive and well. People were afraid. We find it in John 12, verse 42 and 43. Many people, including leaders, believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't talk about it publicly out of fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. And this is the kicker, this last part. They loved human approval more than they loved the approval of God. Now, sometimes silence is golden, right? But in other cases, it's just cowardly. It's just straight cowardly. The desire to fit in keeps a lot of us quiet. I think for me, this point, as I've reflected on it, I've thought about it, it left me with one really penetrating question. Who around me would hear about Jesus if fear wasn't an issue? And for me, the answer is more people than are hearing about him right now. You know, maybe as you've listened to these five traps, these five ways that people pleasing is a trap, you're going, man, you've nailed me. This is me. I'm a people pleaser. Please help me. Pastor Rick's going to spend the rest of his message giving us the antidote. How do we break free from this trap?
So what is the antidote? I mean, you know this. You know that there are times that you don't do the right thing because you're worried about what other people think. And you know that there are times when you do the wrong thing because you're worried about what other people think. What is the antidote to approval addiction? In other words, how do I break free from the people pleaser prison? You say that. People pleaser prison. People pleaser prison. People pleaser prison. How much chuck could a woodchuck chuck? And the antidote is right here. It's between your earlobes. You change the way you think because this particular crazy maker is in your mind. It's in you. And when you have a fear of disapproval, when you have a fear of conflict, when you have a fear of rejection, when you are overly worried about what other people think, all kinds of crazy makers are going to run over your life. They're going to dominate your life, and you're going to miss all these things that Brad and Kurt just talked about. The Bible says in the book of Romans 12, it says, be transformed by renewing your mind. In other words, the way you change your life is to change your mind. The way you change your life is to change the way you think. Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. Exactly. And so what I want to do right now in the last couple minutes, I'm going to give you six truths that will set you free. These six truths, you need to memorize them. You need to burn them into your mind so that when you are in those high pressure situations and you're starting to let other people control you and you want to say yes when they want you to say no, or you want to say no when they want you to say yes, you can call these six Bible truths to mind and they will be an antidote to approval addiction. Okay, let's just write them down and see quickly what the Bible says about them. Number one. First thing I need to remember, even God can't please everybody.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. The circumstances of last year have left many people searching for the peace and assurance you and I know can only be found in God's Word. This means the need for the hope of Christ is greater than ever. That's why I'm excited to share that we have a $50,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give today. This is a great opportunity to reach twice as many people with the certain hope of Jesus. Together, we can take the Word of God to people in need around the world through Daily Hope. Today, when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's study kit called You Make Me Crazy. This six-session video study will help you bring sanity to your relationships so you can do more than just coexist and survive. You can thrive. There are only 2 days left to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. Go to PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. This opportunity is only available to the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world in the many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program 3 times a day. And we are told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all 5 of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher. And thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. Do you realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce? She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing how when you just give what you can give, God takes it and he multiplies it, and we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce. And today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do. And God bless you, my friends.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.